Into the fire. World markets tank as Greece's financial problems worsen.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. German Chancellor Angela Merkel is meeting with heads of the International Monetary Fund and other financial institutions. They're trying to figure out what to do about Greece's staggering debt problems. World markets have been sliding since Standard & Poor's downgraded Greece's debt to junk status yesterday. Here to talk about this with us is our very own Stephen Beard in London. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Stacey.
Stephen, from what I understand, the Europeans have already decided to lend Greece $60 billion. What do they have left to talk about today?
Well, it's actually the EU and the IMF between them have offered $60 billion. What they'll be talking about today is whether they should be offering Greece even more money. Analysts are suggesting the IMF will offer Greece another $13 billion. But a fundamental problem here is the EU side of the equation. The Germans in particular seem reluctant to cough up the money that they originally pledged. It was very unpopular with the German people. The widespread feeling in Germany is Greece is bust. Why throw good money after bad?
One of the things I've heard is that the crisis has been described as a game of dominoes, with Ireland and Portugal potentially failing if Greece does. How does that work?
Yes, there's no doubt about that. I mean, S&P yesterday lowered their rating on Portuguese government debt, and worries are growing about the bonds of more heavily indebted but much bigger Eurozone members like Spain, even Italy. Here's Neil McKinnon of VTB Capital.
There's a systemic risk here that if bond investors do suffer losses, which they already are, anyone who's bought Greek bonds this year is already suffering a heavy loss, there is a feeling that other countries might go down the same route.
Stephen, is that why U.S. investors and other global investors are so scared?
Absolutely. The big fear is that governments have racked up so much debt, bailing out their banks and staving off recession, that could dent economic recovery.
Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Stacey.
Like Stephen said, Greece's troubles are weighing heavy on world markets. Wall Street had a terrible Tuesday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell nearly 2%, closing below 11,000 at 10,991. This morning, markets are not looking much better. Germany's DAX is down 0.8%. Paris's CAC 40 is off 1.5%. Tokyo's Nikkei Index lost 2.5%. One stock that bucked that trend? Goldman Sachs. The investment bank added 0.2% yesterday, despite the fact most of its executives spent the day on Capitol Hill getting grilled by lawmakers. Goldman is accused of profiting from the housing market collapse, in part by betting against investments it was selling to its own clients. Goldman's CEO Lloyd Blankfein denied the claims.
We didn't have a massive short against the housing market, and we certainly did not bet against our clients. Rather, we believe that we managed our risk as our shareholders and our regulators would expect.
Democratic senators were hoping that Goldman hearing would give momentum to the financial reform bill yesterday. No luck there. For the second day in a row, Democrats didn't get enough votes to bring the bill to the floor. Another vote is scheduled for today. The GOP unveiled its own version of the bill. Among the differences, Republicans would ban bailouts. No more too big to fail. Too big to fail. Ever since that term started getting thrown around a couple years ago, short-term interest rates have pretty much been kept at or near zero. Members of the Federal Reserve Board meet in Washington today to discuss whether it's time to raise them. John Dimsdale has more.
At their last meeting 6 weeks ago, Fed members said the recovery was too fragile to even think about raising interest rates. Since then, companies have reported better profits and even begun hiring workers. Still, Richard Berner at Morgan Stanley says the Fed sees no need to change course yet.
The key is that monetary policy hinges on the outlook for the economy and inflation. And so when their outlook starts to change to somewhat higher inflation, then I think they'll think it's appropriate to remove policies aimed at an emergency situation.
Even a hint of higher interest rates now could squelch the recovery, says Dan Cook of IG Markets.
Just kind of like if you plant your yard, you don't mow the grass when it's a day old and just starting to sprout up. You kind of wait till the roots are established before you make any moves.
Cook figures it'll be fall before the Fed starts raising rates to more normal levels. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the new Harvard Business Review, a source of smart thinking for today's business world. The revival of smart begins at hbr.org. And by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place, LendingTree.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Today, China slapped tariffs on U.S. chicken. It's the latest in a series of trade spats between the two countries: steel, tires, nylon, and now chickens. Are we crossing the road to a trade war? Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
Today's ruling could make U.S. chicken as much as 30% more expensive in China. Beijing argues U.S. farmers get unfair subsidies on what they feed their chickens. What you may not expect is essentially we're talking about chicken feet. That's the part of the bird the Chinese really want. The valued claws go for 40 cents a pound in China, compared to 2 cents in the States. But as far as trade battles go, Sean Ryan at China Market Research does not see the sky falling.
For chicken feet, this is not huge business, but it is a measured saying to the United States, let's not engage in a trade war at a serious level.
As in, back off. Chinese leaders, just like American politicians, cater to their constituents too.
There's a lot of political jockeying for power right now, and it's important that Chinese leaders are not seen as being weak and caving into too much foreign pressure.
For all the trade grievances, he says Beijing and Washington have kept things from getting out of hand. Ryan says the key is avoiding a blow-up over the Chinese currency. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And finally, where's the love? The Department of Transportation has fined Southwest Airlines $200,000 for breaking rules when it bumped passengers off of oversold flights. Apparently, Southwest didn't inform them of their rights, which include being paid for the inconvenience. Last year, Southwest bumped more than 13,000 passengers. That's 80% more than the next closest airline. Southwest does fly more passengers than any other U.S. airline. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.